Matthew 10:1 says, "He called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness." And I'd like to preach for a while this morning from the subject, "Are disciples called to heal?" Father, I come this morning in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that you'd help me to be accurate in teaching your word. God, I pray that your word is as it says. It's living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword, dividing us, Lord, spirit and soul, joint and marrow, revealing the thoughts and the attitudes of our heart. God, let it do that work inside of each one of us today and do it for your glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So I have been, for the previous 3-4 weeks that I've been back before VBS, all that, I was on the topic of healing, and I really had the general theme of, is it really God's will to heal? And I spent like 3 weeks on that that topic, and then I looked at, well, what's the motivation? Because I showed conclusively in the New Testament, Jesus healed everybody every time of every disease, right? Except in his own hometown, where he could only heal a few because of their lack of faith. And so it is God's revealed will. I'm not talking about his perfect will. I'm not talking about his providential will. I'm talking about his revealed will in Scripture. What he's revealed to us is that it is his will to heal. So then the next week I looked at what's his motivation, why. And the Bible tells us there are reasons specifically why God chooses to heal. And there's a number of different reasons why God chooses to heal us. And there's only one reason why God, we're told in the New Testament, again, his revealed will, there's only one reason that he doesn't heal. And that is because of why? Because of lack of faith. Now, I will just say this about faith. And I say this and remind this all the time. Maybe you get tired of hearing it, but I'm going to remind it again because I think it's so important. Faith is not something that you generate. How many of you, honestly, I want to see, how many of you have ever said to yourself, man, I just need to have more faith and I'm going to generate more faith in myself. I'm going to believe and have more faith. How many people have ever done that? A few of you are willing. Yeah, I'm going to grunt harder, have more faith. That's not faith. Faith is not generating faith. Faith is trusting God's faithfulness. I have no faith in and of myself. I have no problem trusting God's faithfulness. That's faith, okay? So I trust God's faithfulness. And the lack of that is the only reason we're told in the New Testament anyways why that God doesn't heal. So clearly the New Testament teaches it is God's will to heal. But what about, we see that with Jesus. That's what we really have looked at so far. But what about his disciples? Does God use and want his disciples to heal also? And when I say disciples, I don't just mean the 12 apostles. I mean his disciples, his followers, meaning us, meaning you and me. Is it God's will to use us to heal also? So that's what I want to look at today. So let's go back to Matthew 10:1. And it says, we're going to start with the 12, all right? But we'll expand out to other disciples. But we're going to start and lay the groundwork here. Message in Matthew 10:1, it says, he called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal, what's that next word? Every disease and sickness. Now, there's no ambiguity in that statement, is there? He gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness, just like he had been doing. He gave them authority over that, every one of them. Now, I'm always wanting to make sure that I know exactly what's being said, so I go to the Greek and I look at the word Greek. The Greek word here translated every, and it's P-A-I, it's pas, P-A-S. We would transliterate that in, in Greek it would be pi, alpha, sigma. To us, that's P-A-S, okay? Pas means, and you know what it means? You know what it means in the Greek? You know what the Greek word means? What pas means? It means every. It means every, just like it says. Every. There's it's not almost, it's not the vast majority of, it's every. It means, it's translated all, always, everyone, every way, as many as, thoroughly. It means every. So when it says every, it means every. So I want to take a look at this in a little bit bigger context because it's such a clear, definitive statement. I want to look at the passage in Matthew 10 a little bit deeper, and then we'll go on from there. So I want to jump down to Matthew 10:7. So six verses below what we just read in verses 7 and 8, he tells them, as you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Now I always am fascinated by this idea of freely. freely. And we've talked about this before. I'm going to spend a few minutes on it again. Freely. Now, again, the Greek there is the word dorian. It means that we translate as freely. And it means without cause. In other words, do it for no reason. There is no reason. It's just free. We have a hard time with free. We always want to feel like we talked about this morning in Sunday school with grace. Freely receiving something we don't deserve. Free. We want to feel like we've earned something. We worked hard. We learned it. We did it. We put in the effort, whatever. And what I have is because I did it. I accomplished it. I earned it. Right? That's not what the word free means. It means without cause, for no reason, you've received it. And so we read that passage. I may not get past this passage this morning, which is great because then the next week's sermon's already done. Who said that? Freely. We read that, freely you have received. And we think about, I think we often understand it as it's freely offered. God offers us forgiveness, salvation, new birth. He offers it to us freely. There's nothing that we do as a part of it. We just receive it. But I think we miss the receive part. We have a hard time freely receiving something. I always, if you do something for me, I want to do something for you. If you give me something, I want to give you something. If I get something, I want to feel like I've earned it. And that's never going to work. See, the problem is if you can't freely receive something for no cause, you just receive it, then you can't freely give it. So to be used, Jesus is telling him here, in order to be used in healing his disciples, you have to be able to freely give it. But you can freely give it because you've freely received it. If you haven't freely received it, you can't freely give it. Because if you don't know how to freely receive, look, if I don't know how to freely receive, when I do give something, what's my thought process? Yes. If I can't freely receive and then I give something, I expect something back in return because I can't freely receive it. So how am I going to freely give it? I don't know, and I'm not saying this. I'm only throwing this out there as a possibility. I'm not accusing. It's probably a very low percentage probability of this, but I believe there is some percent probability. Maybe some of the problems that we have in praying for people to be healed is that not with the person that we're praying for, but it's us doing the praying because we don't know how to freely receive, therefore we can't freely give. Just a thought. He goes on, he started in verse 7, as you go, preach this message, the kingdom of heaven is near. I want to just say, this is my opinion. In this passage, that's the number one priority. The number one priority is not to heal everybody. The number one priority is preach that the kingdom of heaven is near. Jesus is here. And Jesus is here to do what? Jesus is here to freely give. To freely give us redemption, salvation, new life. You go and you preach that the kingdom of heaven is near. It is at hand. Jesus, the Son of God, walks the earth bringing the good news of salvation. That is the number one priority. And as a part of that, because of that, you can have the authority to heal and deliver people. That's the priority in this. And it's the word free again, it means without cause, undeservedly. There is no, without limits, no requirements. You just receive it. So let's go on. I want to go back a few verses and look at Matthew 10, verses 2 through 4. as we lead into what we just read. It says, these are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who was called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Now, why do I go back to this passage? Because we just read that Jesus sent the 12 out, right? And he sent them out to preach that the kingdom of heaven is near, and he gave them authority to heal people, and because they'd freely received, they could freely give. That was why he could send these people. It wasn't because of who they are. You think, you know, I'm not, you know, man, Randy's reading about the 12 apostles, but I'm not one of the 12 apostles. Look at my life. It's a mess. That's why God doesn't use me to heal, because I'm not one of these guys. Look at these guys. They were spiritual giants. No. No. Who were they? Peter denied Jesus 3 times, right? Remember him? James and John, they were known as the sons of thunder. They wanted to call down and destroy a Samaritan village because they wouldn't give them shelter, you know, for the night. And they're like, hey, Jesus, can we destroy this place? Can you imagine that? That this is who these people are. It ends with who? Judas, who betrayed Jesus to be crucified. Matthew was a tax collector, maybe the worst of all. That's a joke. So, no, it's not. The key to them going out, Jesus said, and why they could do this is because they had freely received, and therefore they could freely give. But the message was what? The kingdom of heaven is near. Let's go to Matthew 10. This is going to kind of include, Matthew 5, and I'm going to read through verse 10. And so this is going to encapsulate some of what we just looked, but it's a different context. It says, Matthew 10:5 says, these 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick. Raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out the demons, freely you have received, freely give. Do not take along any gold or silver or copper in your belt. Take no bag in for your journey or extra tunic, sandals, or staff. The worker is worth his keep. In verse 5, Jesus had to first reach his own people. It says, go to the Israelites. Okay? God's covenant people. He tells them to go to, as it says, don't go to the Gentiles, right? Because there was no covenant. God had no covenant with the Gentiles yet. God's not excluding the Gentiles. They will have covenant through Jesus Christ, but it hasn't happened yet. God is currently, his covenant was with who? It's with the Jews. So that's who he tells them to go to. First, go to the Jews, my covenant people at this point in time. Go to them. So if you ever wonder about that, that's why. Now later, we'll have covenant, as we have covenant with God through Jesus, through his death and resurrection. We go on through 7 and 8, verses 7 and 8, the top priority was to, again, to teach that the kingdom of heaven is near. But he tells them, don't, you know, this isn't you, this is me. To emphasize to them, this is the way I understand this. When he tells them, don't take anything with you, he's telling them, you don't have anything to do with this. This is me. Because he gave them his authority. So I'll take care of you. Don't feel like it's upon you in any way. Again, because freely you receive, freely give. So he tells them not to take anything with them. How many of us, if we want, let's say we're trying to share the gospel with somebody, and they don't accept it. They don't really want to hear it. They don't really understand it, whatever. What do we want to do? Maybe it didn't work today. I want to go back, and I'll have another conversation with them tomorrow. And the next day, and the next day, and I'm trying so hard. What does Jesus tell them to do when they go to share that the kingdom of heaven is near or to heal? And if people don't receive it, what does he tell them to do? Shake the dust off your sandals, off your Birkenstocks, or whatever it was they were wearing, and go on down the road to the next person. We feel like we have failed, or we feel personally insulted, or however, whatever term you want to use, if people don't accept what we share with them. Jesus said, don't worry about it. It's not about you. Because again, this is about me. Just shake the dust off your shoes and go on down the road. How much less stress and anxiety and frustration would you have in your life if you just were able to just move on? I said this morning in Sunday school, it's one of the things I like about getting older is I just don't care anymore to a big extent about what people think or say, you know. If by this time in life you're not comfortable with who you are and secure in that, well, I don't know if I can help you. And that's what he's telling them. Because again, it's not about you. If they're not rejecting. I love when the Jewish people go and they go to God and they go, we want a king like all the nations around us. And Samuel got really bugged by that. It really bothered him because Samuel was the judge. They were under judges at the time, and Samuel was the judge. And they go, we don't want a judge. We want a king like all the other nations. And Samuel's like, you know, they're rejecting me. And God told him what? They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me because I appointed you to leadership. And it's not you that they're rejecting. They would reject anybody that was in your position. It's not about you. It's about me. So he's telling them, don't be personally rejected by this. Let's go on to verse 11 through 16, Matthew 10, 11 through 16. Whatever town or village you enter, search for some worthy person there and stay in their house until you leave. I think I've already jumped ahead, didn't I? Yeah, I got too much to preach anyways. Let's go to 10:17 through 20. Be on your guard against them, against men. They will hand you over to the local councils and flog you in the synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. And at that time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of the Father speaking through you. Again, the message of the gospel is the priority. And it's just like, this is another continuation of, don't take anything with you, because it's going to be me that's doing it. And so when you get in and put in these, here's what's going to happen to you, just to warn you, don't freak out, because just like I'll provide for you, you know, the money and the place to stay and the staff and all that kind of stuff that you're going to need for your trip, all the physical material things you're going to need for the trip, I'll provide that. I'll also provide for you when you get arrested. Because again, it's not about, you're simply my vessels. It's not about you, it's about me. So I will speak through you, because the message is the priority. It's not John, it's not James, it's not Matthew, it's not the people that he's sending out. That's not the priority. The priority is the message that they are sending, that they're taking to share with people. So the Holy Spirit is going to speak through them. And we should be confident of the same thing. When God's wanting to use us, then we know that he's the one that's going to be doing the work. I want to go on, jump down to Matthew 10, verses 27 through 28. It says, What I tell you in the dark speaks in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both body and or soul and body in hell. The biggest issue that Christians, I find, have with being evangelistic, if you will, sharing the gospel with people, or maybe just having somebody that you see they're going through a tough time, or, you know, and you say, hey, can I pray for you, or something like that. The biggest problem that we have that we're scared of is we're afraid that we will fail, or we're afraid we'll be rejected. And he tells them not to be afraid. Don't be afraid that you're going to fail in carrying out God's will. Don't be afraid of those who persecute you for doing God's will, is his message to them. Go, God's saying, I'm going to whisper it to you. That still small voice of the Holy Spirit is speaking, is going to speak it to you. And then your job is to do what? Go and shout it, proclaim it from the rooftops. And don't be afraid, because it's not about you. It's about me. It's about God. It's about Jesus. And so this is the motivation behind him sending out his disciples to heal every disease and sickness. Okay, so I'm going to take a look at some more passages dealing with, there's too many passages to deal with all the things that the disciples and their healing, but I don't have time to do. I'm going to not read this passage, but I'm just going to refer to it. I encourage you to go back and read it. Acts 3, verses 1 through 16. This is the account of Peter and John going to the temple, and it's the crippled man, and he's begging, Peter says, "Hey, look at me. Give me your attention. You know, you're begging something from me. If you're going to beg from me, then pay attention to me." And then he says, with Jesus' authority in his name, to be healed and walk. And he takes his hand and he stands up and he's healed. So that's the account of that. So without reading it, this is the Peter who denied Jesus. Folks, I wish that I could stand up here and just, I always think about shows that we watched when we were kids, the show Bewitched. How many of you have no idea what Bewitched is? You guys know what Bewitched is? I Dream of Jeannie. Because I love those shows, because in Bewitched, she just, I can't wiggle my nose. She'd wiggle her nose and poof, it would happen, right? Or in I Dream of Jeannie, she'd go like that and poof, it would happen. I wish I could just go and make it happen. But I can't. So I'll encourage all of us, myself this included. Think about Peter. And I'll kind of wrap it up. Think about Peter having the courage to tell the man who's still on the ground crippled, say, "Take my hand." How many of us would do that? Zero. Why could he do that? Well, he walked with Jesus. He saw Jesus do it, right? But it's more than that. I think it goes back to the freely you have received. Because think about this. We're now in the book of Acts. Jesus has been crucified and resurrected. Peter understood that he had freely received because he had denied Jesus three times. And Jesus said, "It's okay, Peter. I forgive you. In fact, more than that, you are going to lead my church. You are Petros. You are the rock on which I will build the church of Jesus Christ." That's freely receiving something he absolutely knew that he had no business receiving. Most of the times I'm telling you, I'm just giving you scripture. That's not my opinion. When it's my opinion, I'll tell you it's my opinion. This is my opinion. Go home, pray about it. Somebody just gets shot? That's part of the lesson. Oh, yeah, I blew up a balloon the other day. That's for Judy. Okay. All right. He realized, again, that he had nothing. It wasn't about him at all. But he knew what Jesus had done, and he knew what Jesus had told him to do. And so he took the guy's hand. Some way, somehow, folks, we need to get to that level. I struggle to do that for myself, let alone for you. I can't do it for you. All I can say is to encourage you, to challenge you, to somehow get to that level of faith. Peter trusted God's faithfulness because he had experienced it himself. Again, the man that denied Jesus was forgiven by Jesus. Peter's denial was a part of leading to Jesus' crucifixion. I'm sorry, but if you got me crucified, I might have a hard time forgiving you. He forgave him and then told him, I'm going to use you as the cornerstone to build my whole church. So Peter said, okay, it's not about me, it's about him. I know what he's commanded me to do. I know he's given me authority to do. Take your hand, get up and walk. I don't know how you get there, but that needs to be a place that we set as a goal to get to. Because I've shown, I'll say conclusively, God's revealed will in the New Testament is to heal everybody every time of every disease. The only roadblock being lack of faith. Now, don't go around criticizing people if they don't get healed when you pray for them. So you just don't have the faith for it, okay? Trust me, that's not going to help. That's not productive, all right? Don't do that. Don't even think it. If anything, pray for them to be blessed and encouraged, okay? Have I babbled enough this morning about 15 different subjects? I'll probably share more on this topic next week because God does want to use us.